Today's Unseminary Podcast episode is brought to you by Church Community Builder. I love how these guys help church leaders make and grow disciples by providing software and coaching focused on improving operational effectiveness. Church Community Builder provides leaders like me with insights into engagement of our church community, helping us close the gaps that allow people to slip away unnoticed. Visit churchcommunitybuilder.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. I am so glad that you decided to spend some time with us today. I'm really honored. I know you've got a lot going on. Gosh, you're busy this week, heading into this weekend at your church, and I'm just honored that you would take some time out to spend some time with us here today. Today, we're privileged to have Deborah Eich with us from Velocity Ministry Management. I'm just excited for us to dig in and get a bit of sense of what you're up to. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Rich. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show. I love Unseminary and all the stuff that you are putting out there on your site as well and in the podcast. As far as Velocity goes, I love helping church leaders. Mm. I have a heart for ministry and sort of a head for business, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
Very cool.
The
thing I love about your site and what you're doing is there's a real crossover. I think there's a really interesting kind of connection. We talk about similar things. I love that you talk a lot about systems and, kind of developing, approaches that are scalable and, help you, help churches kind of scale what they're doing. Why did you start this site? Give me kind of the backstory there a little bit.
Sure. Well, I had the privilege of working with a ministry for a while I was in college, and then also have served at different churches. I've moved around the country a little bit with the work, and so I've been able to volunteer at my home church, wherever that may have been at the time. And I just got to get to know some really visionary pastors and church leaders, loved what they were doing, loved their heart for ministry and their heart for people. Yet at the same time, I saw this kind of disconnect on how to execute on that vision really well. And so that's where kind of my business background, my project management background comes into play. I love systems. I love organization. Might be a little bit type A. And so that's where I really want to bring that into play. And, God gives us all different talents and abilities. And so I'm just trying to use what he's entrusted to me to serve the church.
Nice. Okay. So let's say where there's a church leader listening in who's saying, oh, systems and gosh, that's just like, we're just supposed to care for people. Why should I be worried about systems?
Well, okay, caring for people. Prime example. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody brand new, a new family, the Smiths, comes to your church this Sunday. And they walk in the door and, maybe the volunteers were kind of not feeling it that morning and they weren't as welcoming as they should be or as you want them to be. And so they're not just getting a really great open arm vibe from your church just yet. Well, or let's say they do get welcomed really well, but they fill out that visitor card and nobody calls them. So they're kind of wondering, okay, do they care about me? Do they know that I was even here? That's where a system comes into play. So first off, you're training your volunteers and you're imparting that vision and that passion that you have for people to them so that they're taking really good care of people and they know to be looking out for first-time guests and really, taking them on a tour of the church facility and helping them get their kids checked in and finding the sanctuary. Directing them to a seat, all that sort of thing. And then also making sure there's a great process in place for follow-up. So they fill out that card, that next day you get them keyed into your church management system or your database, and then somebody's getting on the phone and calling them that Monday afternoon or sending them an email, whatever your process is. And so they feel like, you know what, these guys cared about me. They cared about my kids, they cared about my family, they called, they followed up. You know what, this might be my new church home. That's where systems, which I know sounds so boring and businessy, but that's where systems are really used to take care of people and to steward and love people as they're coming through your church.
Very cool. I think a lot of the, we're going through a season right now where we're interviewing and we have been interviewing some of the, top senior leaders of some of the fastest growing churches in the country. And time and time again, if you're listening into the podcast, you'll be hearing them talk about repeatable processes, right? That we're doing these things over and over. And that's all that really a system is. And so I, appreciate that you're, pushing on that. What would you say would be areas that you run into that kind of aren't you know, robust enough for churches, or they haven't really developed a clean enough system, or a clear enough system, a repeatable enough system on a regular basis?
Volunteers, everyone is always looking for more volunteers. They're trying to figure out, okay, why aren't people sticking around? Why aren't they showing up on a Sunday when they said they would? All that sort of thing. So really making sure that you are cultivating an atmosphere of service within your church from the time that somebody, maybe, you know, depending on if you have a full-blown new membership class or however you do that, really helping people see that that's a process that gets them plugged into the church. It helps them develop solid relationships. And so, yes, that's a very people-centered kind of, maybe more ministry feeling, but you've got to put that structure and those processes in place to make sure that you really train your volunteers well, that they understand the vision, that you've got strong volunteer leaders in place to nurture them and to set the bar high with what kind of level of excellence you're looking for them to do, so that they know what's expected of them. So that's definitely a key thing for all churches.
Yeah. So we can dig into that a little bit. So how would you go about training volunteers? What could some training pieces that churches should be thinking through be?
I would start with one, you've got to know what you want from them. So as a church leader, you've got to sit down and create, and I know this sounds totally businessy, but you've got to sit down and create a job description. And this doesn't have to be anything fancy, but, you know, what's the top five bullet point items that you expect from your greeters or from the people out in the parking lot or, your ushers or whatever? For each role, set out those expectations. What does the win look like?
Right.
We all know in football, when somebody scored a touchdown, that's a win, right? Well, same thing for your volunteers. You've got to define the win. So that's step number one. Once you and your entire leadership team know exactly what you expect from volunteers, then you write it down and you make the vision plain, right?
Absolutely.
So you start talking to people. And as you're pulling people in and you're recruiting them to start serving, it's really talking about, you know what? You're not just smiling and saying hello if you're greeting someone at the front door. You are taking care of people. You're welcoming them into your church home. If you have a dinner party at your home, you really take care of people. You show them where things are in the house. You make sure that you get them a glass of water. You know, usually Sunday morning it's coffee, right? Stuff like that. You're taking care of people and you're nurturing them. So you've got to tell them, you know, kind of the specifics of what you want, and then also the heart behind it, so that they can make decisions on the fly when they need to, and they can do that in a way that's consistent with your church's culture and your vision.
Nice. Yeah, we've hidden job descriptions in something we've called a what to expect document. So
I
think sometimes people think, I don't really want to read a job description, but what they do want to know is what to expect. So we go out of our way to communicate it like, hey, you're going to arrive here. This is where you go to drop your code. This is, if you're looking for a free meal, this is how you can get a free coffee or whatever from us. And oh, by the way, people are going to arrive and this is the way you're going to serve them. This is how to, expect, what it's going to be like. So, we kind of have wrapped up a job description in really a document that tries to articulate what they can expect when they come, because people are obviously a little bit anxious when they first start volunteering. A common problem that churches have all the time is that families may stop attending because they simply people don't notice. What are you kind of noticing that churches that are able to kind of close that back door, what are they been able to do from that point of view on a system?
I think there's a couple of different options. One is if you have a really robust church management software, CHMS system, and you're doing some sort of an attendance taking or check-in. A lot of them now, you can kind of scan a little barcode or type in a last name real quick and it'll look you up, or phone number, something like that. You can check people in that way. So that's one easy way to do it. Another way that might be a little bit more personal is through small groups. So if you've got most of your congregation that they are signed up and active in a small group, then your small group leader should be kind of taking attendance, so to speak. It's not like you're doing roll call during, small group, but they just note who's there from week to week. And if somebody doesn't show up, hey, just give them a phone call. Hey, is everything okay? How are you doing? Kids' soccer game ran over. We couldn't make it this week or whatever. Stuff like that.
So how are churches, obviously, are there churches that are taking attendance in the main service, the kind of main deal? How are you able to kind of get a sense of whether people are attending or not?
Yeah, I've seen, some churches I've seen, they actually still have that kind of binder that they pass down the aisles.
The friendship pad.
Yes. Yeah, I've still seen that. Yeah. Which, hey, you know, whatever works. And then, you know, I've also, you know, I've talked with the folks over at Church Community Builder quite a bit, and they've got at least a couple of churches that are they're doing some attendance through that as well. So it's not, I don't know that it's really that widespread to take attendance in the main service. It's probably a lot easier to do it in maybe Sunday school type classrooms or small groups. And the other thing is, too, with your volunteers. You know, I led a volunteer team for our early service for several years, and if somebody wasn't able to make it for a couple of Sundays in a row, I was just checking in on them, seeing, hey, is everything okay? You know, what can we do to help you? Or, you know, if they got injured or somebody was in the hospital, we we followed up on that. So
absolutely.
Just getting people plugged in.
Yeah. And I think even just tracking in the kids ministry, that obviously gives you a wide swath of, you know, of people, like you're saying, within like small groups or life groups, you know, encouraging your leaders to, you know, take attendance. CCB, Church Community Builder, has a really slick kind of attendance system for that that's very easy to use, you know, as a leader. And that that data can be really powerful to help move people along and keep them, you know, connected. What are churches doing from your perspective from any kind of organizational planning or, you know, kind of, you know, implementation of the vision of the senior pastor? What are you seeing that, you know, is working these days for churches?
Well, you know, typically when a church comes to me, it's not working. So that's kind of the fun part.
So how do you help them?
Right, there you go. Usually the first step is trying to bridge that gap between what I would call kind of faith and vision and planning. Because there's this misconception that planning equals business and we're trying to run the church like a business. And that's really, at least from my perspective, that's not my heart behind it at all. I think there's a lot of leadership and organizational principles that are straight out of the Bible that the business world gets to use all the time. So why aren't we using it?
Yes.
You know, Jethro telling Moses, hey, you need to delegate more. You're wearing yourself out here. You know, even Jesus had 12 apostles. One didn't work out so well, but the rest of them were out there spreading the gospel, right? So we need to be leveraging those core principles. So one thing is, first off, you got to convince the senior leader that fire-ready aim just isn't working. You know, we all get excited about a vision. We get excited about, you know, starting a new service or launching a new campus, whatever it might be. And we all just want to go for it and reach more people. And that's great. You want to capture that passion and that vision. But then you got to step back a little bit and go, okay, how are we going to make that happen? And it's not all about saying it's all on us. God is obviously providing that vision. He's going to help provide the resources and the ability to get it done. But he's also entrusted us with talents and abilities to go out there and make it happen and plan. So, you know, kind of getting that across to everybody first. And then, you know, just starting to kind of show people how it works. So, you know, I've helped a church here locally plan a really large event. It's about 10,000 people that were attending. And, you know, a lot of what I did was I led some of the initial team meetings and set, got an agenda put together, sat down, led the meeting, kind of made assignments, put an org chart together of who on the team was responsible for what aspect of the event, got a to-do list, got a project plan together, and then started gradually having somebody else run the meeting. You know, they're the staff member that was more of the project manager, and I was in there as a supporting role. This was her first time running that big of a project, and so just needed someone there to kind of help. So sometimes just that modeling aspect of it. And then too, I write about this quite a bit on my, my website. Just, okay, here's how you put together some planning, some organization, some structure, and how to go implement and make it happen. But yeah, meetings get a bad rap because a lot of times they're not effective, but it is possible to have an effective meeting. So
yes, definitely.
Modeling that a lot.
Very cool. Was there anything else you want to share before we jump into the lightning round?
You know, just again, hammering home a bit that just because we use a few businessy terms doesn't mean we're trying to run a church like a business. It's really, I have a huge heart for the vision that pastors have. I love the, just that passion, that drive, that vision that they have to go out there and get stuff done, to serve people, to honor God, to love on people. I don't come up with those kinds of ideas. That's just not how I'm wired. But I love coming alongside someone who is wired that way and helping them achieve that goal. So I really see myself as someone who's serving the church and helping support them.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. Today, we're honored to have Deborah Eich with us. She's from VelocityMinistryManagement.com. Deborah, what is an online resource that you're using these days that's been particularly helpful for you?
I really like Nozbe, N-O-Z-B-E. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird name, but it fits right into my project management wiring. Mm-hmm. You can create multiple projects and then to-do lists within each project, get it on your calendar so it sends me a reminders, mm-hmm. and you know the satisfaction of checking things off my list. Mm-hmm. It works on all cylinders for that.
Very cool. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's got you, you know, shaping your thinking or ministry?
I really enjoyed the book Next, Pastoral Succession That Works, and I'm trying to make sure I say his name right, William Vanderbloem.
Yeah, very good.
And Warren Bird, and yes. They co-authored that book.
Nice.
I love the heart that they have for pastors and in really trying to address what can be a really delicate situation and talking about, okay, when you're not here, who's next, kind of a thing, but really addressing it in a very practical and compassionate way. So it was an excellent read.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. We've had both William and Warren on the show in the past. Great people. And love that book, you know, the core idea that, you know, every pastoral responsibility or, you know, leadership role is temporary, even if you're the person that founded the church. So it's a great, that's a great read for sure. What's another ministry you're looking to these days that's inspiring you?
You know, I really enjoy seeing what North Point is doing, and then also Life Church TV. So just they seem to really embrace both the visionary outreach aspect of things and putting some structure in place to facilitate it well.
Very cool, very cool. Well, if you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive today, who would you want to get that time with and why?
You know, probably just going along with the churches that I've been watching. Right. So probably Andy Stanley or Craig Groeschel would be great. I'm really curious as to how they, you know, because they're both very visionary leaders, very got a heart as a pastor, but they also seem to have an appreciation for just that, you know, leadership, organizational mindset. So I'm just kind of curious as to where that came from.
Very cool. Well, I'm sure, you know, you've got a lot going on and, you know, keeping your site up and running takes a lot of time. When you just want to kick back, relax, you know, what do you like to do just for fun?
You know, I really like trying out new recipes.
Nice.
You know, that's my one like main creative outlet is trying to take stuff and make it healthier. So, and working out. So
very cool. Well, that's great, Deborah. I appreciate you being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you, you know, or with your site, how can they do that? What should they be doing?
Yeah, just drop on by VelocityMinistryManagement.com. Or you can find me over on Twitter at Deborah Eich VMM.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary Podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.